Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Okay, so hello, I'm Carl Harosh. I'm the managing director of a digital product agency called Novoda, and I'm here with Seb.
Hi, Carl. I am a team lead on package search at JetBrains. It's one of the many things you can find in IntelliJ, which is your favorite IDE.
Yes. welcome to Unscripted. So I think the topic of today, and we're going to go with your talk, which is around native versus cross-platform.
Yes.
So tell me, Seb, should I go native or should I go cross-platform?
Hey, we rehearsed it. It depends. That's the key word. Jokes aside, I think there's a lot of factors to take into consideration when making that choice. There's also a lot of wrong reasons to make that choice. Not just saying there's wrong reasons to choose one or the other, there's even like getting to the point of asking yourself, should I do one or the other? If you already have a product, then there might be reasons where you're asking yourself that because you feel like you're in a bad position and you need to dig yourself out of a hole. Maybe, and you're like, okay, maybe the next cross-platform framework is going to solve all our problems. And generally, technology cannot fix that kind of problems. But if that's not your situation, if you're in the case where you have a solid org and a good product that you want to develop a mobile app for, then the choice between native and cross-platform might depend on a number of factors that are, for example, your own company's needs. So your product needs is the first thing. If you need to use some things that are very much tied to the platform you're on, then probably doing cross-platform, for example, doesn't make that much sense because you will end up spending a lot of time talking directly with the underlying operating system and you need to do it per platform. So you still need people that do Android and you still need people that do iOS. You kind of need in general, but the more you have to talk with native stuff, the more native people you need. And you cannot get away with having a team that can juggle both platforms at the same time. You might find someone that is able to do both Android and iOS at a high level, but that's fairly rare. Another thing that might guide your choice is the fact that maybe you already have some certain capabilities in your company. I know that's a word you like a lot. if your company already has a native team and you're thinking maybe I want to switch, for example, to, I don't know, Flutter or React Native or Xamarin or any of the web-based frameworks or Kotlin Native, whatever you want, it doesn't matter. The point is, if you already have a team and you go to them without telling them, without talking to them, you are probably going to find out that the people you already have will not want to do work with the cross-platform framework. And that might be problematic because it might lead to a lot of people in the team leaving and then you being on a deadline, stranded in a time where you're making a very big investment to maybe rewrite your application. And that also is probably something you should try to avoid.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you touched on like organization structure, yeah. like how your organization behave. And also, like the bad choice of go of going with let's say CrossBow, but even asking yourself the question if the organization is not set up to even pose that question. Can you, do you have any example of a organization that there's dysfunction in that area in which like they come to like, okay, is this like I'm not working out why this is not working.
Yeah.
And then they say let's figure out if cross function is a cross platform is a solution. Can you maybe elaborate on some of those dysfunctions?
So there are different factors that can lead to a mobile product failing. One of them can be I would say organizationally speaking, a management problem in the sense that you might have the entirety of your company's technology stack that lives obviously under a CTO. And it's considered tech, but for some reason, your company might be considering mobile as part of product. And for as good as product people can be, and probably are, they are not tech people, and they don't necessarily understand what is needed for a mobile product, or generally speaking, a tech product to thrive. And on top of that, that can also compound with the fact that there can be tribalism between the people that are working on the tech side of things and the people that are working on the mobile slash product side of things, because then they're not aligned. They don't have necessarily the same priorities. And like if, for example, the CPO and the CTO come to talk to each other, like, oh, the CPO says, I need to do an app. I need an app because product needs an app. And the CTO is like, well, fine, we're going to have the backend people do something for your mobile team. But then the incentives are not necessarily aligned, and the backend team that creates the APIs that the mobile application will end up using, they might not care. They might have other priorities. They might use a technology stack or even just a way of doing things that doesn't work well with the mobile applications, because the historically speaking, backend development has been and it still is probably closer to web than it is mobile. And web compared to mobile is a relatively straightforward thing in the sense that mobile in fact can include a variety of things that is not just the phone you have in your pocket, but there's tablets, there's TVs, there's wearables, there's cars. So when it comes to the needs of the mobile team, they might be different, even just between different form factors, because the ways people use a smartwatch are different from the ways people use a TV, and they're different from the ways people use a car. And even, like, one thing that happens often is that maybe backend people don't think in terms of offline, which is very important for mobile. Because mobile, well, you go in the tube and you don't have coverage, so what do you do? And there's a lot of work that happens on the mobile side to compensate for that. But you might also, as a mobile team, have to work around the fact that the server assumes in one way or another that you're always connected, because while the web is, by definition, almost always online, and sure, you can have offline behaviors that are possible on the web as well, but they're fairly marginal, and there's not that many cases in which that is relevant, because it's you either have a connection and connect to the internet and surf the web, or you don't. So
I've seen that actually quite frequently, and like the way that I like to think about it, especially when, you know, when you have a browser experience, is a very active experience, because you open the browser and you have the intention of doing something, like checking a bank account or something like that. So like, and so it's a kind of active real-time experience, including for the backend, because it gets the request and then serves it back to web. While on mobile, you can look at it more passive and evented, because it can be location-based, it can be at a certain time of the day. If somebody sends you money, then you send an event and you receive it. And so the API, or the way to describe the API or to construct the APIs, tends to be fairly different if you start from web if you start from mobile. Have you experienced like on your point where you say backend is more aligned to web, I think there's also a technology component there, because mm-hmm. when you say full stack,
yeah,
you tend to have like, okay, I don't know, cloud abilities, infra, and so forth, and then JavaScript, and then potentially JavaScript, Web, React, and similar. And so full stack is kind of like not including mobile.
Yeah.
And then what
I
you
mean, s- yeah. mobile is a front end, but it's not a front end for the back end. it's a front end that happens because in 2022, there are cases in which you don't need a mobile app, but everyone and their dog has a mobile app these days. So it is kind of like it exists. It's a thing you need to consider. But in terms of when I was mentioning that the backend might not think in terms of the needs of a mobile app, something that a mobile app does that websites never do is being proactive. So a mobile app, and I think you will remember a project that you worked on where there was this newspaper that wanted to get everyone the latest news when they were released. And the backend was like, well, here is the whole thing. But then the company couldn't just deliver that to the mobile device because it wasn't prepared in a way that made sense for the device. So what ended up happening was that there needed to be a middleware backend that got the bunch of things, retranslated them in a way that was mobile friendly, and then staggered pushing that notification of the new stuff is ready to all the devices, but trying to avoid congestions, because then again, obviously, if you send a push notification to everyone at the same time, your backend is going to go down because you have, well, assuming you have a popular service, but in that case it was, so... Like that sort of thing is the stuff that if you don't know mobile, if you don't think about mobile as having its own needs, it's very hard to consider, and it's very easy to miss. And then you find yourself in the situation where you're like, oops.
I remember that project where we started first building, so there was something like 150 API calls to get like one edition. And we started doing that first on mobile. So we had like this kind of like component. But we were like, this is ridiculous. It should really be pushed somewhere else. And then we created this proxy. But like the backend was evented. Then it kind of like was REST-based, so not evented anymore. And then we kind of made it evented again. So we had this kind of layer to make it more mobile-friendly. And so in this picture, how can you alleviate that? So like what have you seen like from a organizational structure perspective in which mobile is accounted for either, you know, beforehand or at the same time or during the, you know, like description of the APIs? Mm. Or is there a technology that you've seen that works better than others in achieving that?
In terms of technology, it's hard to say because like everything, and I go back to my favorite answer, it depends on what the company is doing. And some teams have had a lot of luck using GraphQL. That worked very well for them because it allows them to be more flexible on the client side and just also reduce the amount of traffic that the application needs to do in order to get the data that it needs. But at the same time, that might just move the complexity to the backend side, which might not be ready to tackle that and to work on it in an effective manner. So that's one way, but also you can probably do with just fine with a REST API, as long as what you're doing, like if you have, I'm thinking about like a store, you have an app that allows you to buy things. You can probably be fine with REST APIs for most of the stuff you do, but maybe other scenarios would work better with a GraphQL API. And I don't think it's necessarily a technical... Like, again, I don't think the tech you choose, I don't think in and by itself will make something work. It might make your life easier, it might make your life harder. I've worked plenty of times with on applications that were talking to backends that were almost hostile to the way mobile works, but then the app still at the end of the day worked. It was just a lot more work to do on the mobile side to compensate for the fact that the backend was doing things in their own way. And I'm sure they had reasons for them that made sense, but obviously it made life of the mobile team harder. What I think is very important is to design these things together and to account for the fact that when you want to do mobile will probably have different needs than web, and then you will need to involve someone from the mobile team from the start, from the moment you decide you're gonna do a mobile app, regardless of native, regardless of cross-platform or anything else. You need to put everyone together and design everything and decide what they want to do, but also there needs to be buy-in from everyone. It cannot be like, oh, we want to do this, so you have to help us, and then like, but we already have a backlog full of stuff to do, because that's gonna be, you're gonna have stuff that is half baked or just you get whatever is there because that's what we can do, and we can barely support mobile.
I've seen, I think, through the like 10, 15 years of us working with different clients, we've seen a lot of that where there is things. So a flow, and I'm not sure if this is that common today, but I remember like back in the days was, okay, yeah, you have people sitting in a room, including sometimes mobile, discussing, okay, the next big release for the next 6 months or 12, 12 months. And they say, okay, we're going to do this new search API or something like this. Then they go off and they create the search API. They come back 6 months later and say, ta-da! And then the mobile team are like, well, we haven't really... I know we were part of the conversation, but it was 6 months ago, and actually we need this like this now. Yeah. And you put it back in the backlog, and then it's another 6 months before you receive it. So yeah, this kind of like... alternance of putting things on each other's backlog, which takes a certain amount of time before releasing, which is way too slow in the pace of current market. So have you seen other setup that works better?
I've seen companies succeed with vertical teams where there is no one backend team, but there is a slice, a vertical slice that goes from backend to all the front ends that includes web, and mobile, and then they work in a very close relationship, in a very tight loop, so that there isn't the risk that you just outlined of saying, oh, actually, the spec we discussed 6 months ago doesn't work. we just realized after implementing some other things that doesn't work for us. Like everything, if you commit to something that is medium or long term, it's essential that you keep up with the rest of the parties. It is not just, oh, yeah, we're done. Close everything in a sealed envelope and then come back with, oh, this is what you order. There you go. And that's something that happens, unfortunately, very often where different teams are disconnected again, even in the case where they are under the same responsibility chain. They might just have, like, a cold relationship, let's put it that way. There might be several reasons for that. And I've seen several ways in which this can happen. Sometimes is ego. Sometimes is lack of understanding from like lack of empathy even between the different teams where you have... This tends to happen especially when there is strict deadlines that the teams have to meet and they're not aligned. So if one team starts to say, oh, yeah, but they're always demanding, but why can't they just use whatever we gave them already? And the other way around, this mobile team is like, well, this backend team, they don't want to do anything for us. They just care about their own stuff. And then this builds up over time to the point where it's really just like us versus them. It's very tribal again, which can cause all sorts of problems. I don't really have a silver bullet recipe for success for that, except keep an eye, make sure people talk. And
do you think like, so this point actually on the tribalness, so like, okay, you know, back end and front end, have you seen, or do you believe that maybe that's why some, you know, engineer, head of engineer, CTO think like, well, look, you know, like backend is writing, you know, in JavaScript, like maybe if we say React Native, which is JavaScript in the front end, or, you know, .NET in the back end, so like we can put Xamarin in the front end, and so they won't fight each other because they speak the same language. Do you think there's some of that thinking going on?
I surely see, especially this happening after a previous iteration of mobile failed. We're like, oh yeah, you know, with it, we had that, we tried that, it didn't work, but look at the backend, they're always on time, they're always shipping, they use JavaScript, maybe this JavaScript thing works for mobile as well, let's use React Native. And then you go to mobile, to your mobile team, and you tell them, oh, you know, from tomorrow you start doing React Native, and then they all quit because mobile devs hate JavaScript. And
I'm sure not all hate JavaScript.
No. It's a generalization, obviously. But in terms of preferences, I'm sure people that have been hired to do native dev, they probably prefer to do native dev. And these days, it's not hard to find a different job if you are tired of what you're doing. So just saying, think about that.
Yeah, like,
involve the people, talk to them, and they might actually be on board with that, but you need to talk to them. If you impose things on people, they're not going to like it, most likely. So talking to them, and also consider the fact that if you have native teams and you go to them and be like, from next month we do cross-platform, half of them are going to be, well, all of them are going to be like, well, you only need half of them us then? And then what happens next month? And am I even worth, it's like, should I look for a new job? And then you risk, again, finding yourself without a team to work on that, which...
Yeah. Okay, so there's challenges there between, let's say, backend and frontend, or like backend and frontend mobile. Like, I suggest we should go and move to those cross-function team and just remove the idea of backend and frontend and just have one big family doing things together. Yeah.
But that doesn't work for everyone.
It doesn't work for everyone. And even when you think it's going to work, it doesn't really work either. I mean, like, what I've seen is intention being good, especially in kind of the scale-ups and type, like, try to behave in a certain way. And so, like, microservices and they create the structure with all the capabilities in those cross-functional team. And you just start with good spirit, but over time you then have, I don't know, the storefront team or like the profile team, and then suddenly you start having, and then the mobile team, which I always find weird because you have like one which is kind of product directed or kind of like business intention that is described in the teams, and then mobile, which is kind of a platform, as in on the side, a bit like a black duck.
Getting the crumbs from everyone.
We know where to put them. Yeah. And if we have like one engineer on each, it's a bit strange. And but that's better than what you describe, which is like fighting. And
so yeah.
But let's maybe take it down a notch. If we remove the back end and just focus on the front end between, let's say, iOS and Android, I mean, putting aside web for now, even between those two platforms, there seems to be a bit of a... Yeah, is there enough differences to validate native development? Like, is there, like, the experience, or both from a developer experience, also from the consumer experience, is quite similar.
Yeah.
So why are the team, or have you seen, I don't want to lead the question, but like, have you seen teams working together between the two platforms, or what's your experience there?
I have seen teams working together in harmony between Android and iOS. Sometimes that was because common enemy, the backend, but it's not a healthy way to do that. But I've also seen teams working together in sort of a friendly competition where, you know, one of the teams get ahead on the backlog and then the other team is like, oh, it's not possible. They kind of do better than we do. And then they catch up and maybe they pass them. So you can, and at the end of the day, you should be able to work in a constructive manner between the Android and iOS teams. And I think that's especially important to have these people work together, like force them to have reasons to work together on stuff. That goes from defining the tickets and plan the issues together I mean, it's inevitable that some things are going to be easier on Android and some things are going to be easier on iOS. So they might not always be aligned, but in a longer cycle than a sprint, you probably want to make sure that they're focused on the same things and have the same goals. This can be complicated when you consider products that tend to come to bring in revenue, and then their performance is gauged on the revenue that each platform brings in, because depending on the business model, iOS team, they can do half of the work that Android team does and bring in three times as much revenue, because iOS users tend to be bigger spenders. So if you have a subscription model, for example, then it might be easier for iOS to acquire and retain users, paid users, than it is on Android. So when you decide the success metrics for the different platforms, you need to understand that the audience might be different. And it's not always the case, obviously, everything, as always, it's a generalization, and there are probably examples of cases where it's the other way around. If your only metric is how much revenue a team is bringing in, the Android team is most likely going to always be behind, unless you have a very wide base of users, and then what you are monetizing. This is something we tend to see a lot in the mobile market, where a company that maybe has a subscription model on iOS tends to do more the freemium thing on Android, because that's how the audience that they're targeting on Android works.
So be like, kind of understand your target audience a bit better.
Yeah, understand the target audience. But going back to the original original question about making the mobile team works together, the mobile teams work together. That's possible, and I've worked with brilliant iOS people in the past, as in my previous life as an Android developer. And I think it really comes down to the point where, as an engineer on either platform, you go past being a fanboy of the platform and understand that everyone is doing their best with what they have. And there is no best. Like, it's something that when you're I'm gonna sound very old. When you're young,
you're younger than me. So.
Yeah, no, still. When you start your career, especially in mobile, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, Android is the best or iOS is the best, and you get to a point where you realize that's not true. Like, there's different people will like different things, and iOS will work better for people that are probably not you, but their point of view is just as good as yours. Not like making it so that nobody's snarky at the others for being on a different camp, let's say, is very important. And
I remember someone at Novoda, like, who's been with us, probably one of the older person, he had like this say, was like, listen to the old man. Every time he wanted to make a point similar, kind of like, you can go and discuss your complexity and like the latest tech and latest SDK, and sometimes simplicity or proven ways of doing something is better. But like, so I just, from a curiosity perspective, like, so you mentioned you shouldn't measure revenue, that product driven. Do you have like a way to measure that harmony? I mean, like, if you're a head of mobile or CTO looking at your mobile team, and we want to have better collaboration, what should you measure? How would you go about doing that?
I heard Mario Kart tournaments are really good for that.
That still brings in the competition, though. You know, like,
yeah, but it's a friendly competition, exactly. You know. Jokes aside, well, not joke. It's actually, that's true. It, like, making things that people enjoy doing together helps. Fostering collaboration between the two teams. I think over time, when I was at Novoda, we tried things like on some projects, having Android people doing code reviews of iOS stuff, especially once Kotlin and Swift were adopted in both teams, so the languages are closer and we can understand each other better. That's definitely something.
Just a bit, I remember that. I mean, like Kotlin and Swift, let's say, is like 80% the same kind of syntax. Yeah. You know, and like, so I find it fascinating when you hit code bases that are written in Swift and in Kotlin, and even the models have different namings. Like the items are, one is auto and the other one is car. And you're just like, what? That does not make sense in terms of obviously, conversation had not happened. And so they've done it differently on different projects.
But I remember at least one of the projects where we were doing the cross review. One of the things that we were explicitly looking for was this kind of discrepancies where, I mean, trying to be aligned in the things that the two teams are doing allow people that are doing the code reviews across platforms to say, oh, we already done that and we call that way. So maybe the structure of the code might be different, but the name, unless you're using a completely different pattern in different OSs, which might make sense, but the name of the data models is the obvious thing where you need a shared language between the teams. And that helps when it comes to talking with the backend. If you can have a shared language with them as well, that also helps. But also product management and project management, especially when you write issues and stories and you're brainstorming the personas and the scenarios that you want to cover, having a shared language is very important, because otherwise you're not like, oh, for us, as the car and auto thing, oh yeah, for us, auto is one thing and car is another, and they're slightly different things, and one is the serialized version and the other one is the one we get from the wire. Like, that sort of thing is important to care for, like explicitly consider once you start working on things, if the other platform has already done that, to make sure that you're on the same page. And maybe it doesn't mean that the first platform that gets there is the one that is right. It means that once the other platform catches up, if they're not aligned, then it's a good time to have a discussion and consider whether either solution is better or if they're equivalent, which is also absolutely fine.
So interesting, like you mentioned as part of your description there, you said cross-platform. I feel like a cross-platform thinking was like when you mentioned the merging, or like when they kind of like look at each other pull request. So you think that this type of like development is cross-platform development, because you look at, you know, you're going across the different platform as a developer?
I mean, cross-platform is a term that means many things depending on how you look at it. When we're talking about cross-platform frameworks specifically in terms of tech, we're looking at a single team that can target both platforms, Android and iOS. And especially distinctive, I think, is the fact that they can target both platforms using a single language and mostly the same build tools. There are exceptions, of course, because at the end of the day, you need to deliver an APK on Android and an IPA on iPhone. So the last mile, let's say, of the building process is still handled by the native tools, but the majority of the chain above might be handled by the same, will generally be handled by the same build chain for both platforms, and just diverge at the last minute when it comes to packaging the final application. So that's one way of seeing cross-platform. But then again, when you're talking about mobile, it's very rare that you want to target on the iOS or on the Android. There are niche things for which it only makes sense to target iPhone or Android. And there are some product categories that historically have only targeted or mostly targeted iOS. So creative software and things like that, where historically speaking, Android has been behind, both in terms of the ability to handle media, but also I'm thinking about music creation, for example. Historically speaking, Android, until a few years back, had a serious latency problem that made it essentially impossible to create virtual instruments, because the lag between your touch on the screen or your input and the moment where the input was processed and the output came out was way too long, and it was not a problem on iOS. So those sort of things can mean that, sure, your product doesn't need or cannot have an Android or an iOS app. But generally speaking, if you do mobile, you probably want to target the widest audience possible, and that means both Android and iOS.
And so you obviously describe specialized software, let's say music production and similar, like instruments, which I think you would probably go down the route of doing it natively, if not even
at C level or something like that.
Going the complete other side, have you seen an example, let's say, in which the use of cross-platform was like a roaring success, not just saying, okay, well, it was good, but like this was actually transformational to the business?
I definitely have seen products succeed with cross-platform, in the sense that you don't have to think that cross-platform is, like, doing cross-platform is not necessarily an hindrance to your success. And in fact, there are cases where doing a cross-platform app is perfectly fine because you don't need anything more than what the cross-platform framework gives you out of the box. The problem with cross-platform frameworks can arise when you need to get out of the I'm not going to call it walled garden because it's not, but outside of the comfort zone of the stack you use. Say, for example, you use Flutter and all your code is written in Dart. And maybe you probably had to create a team to write Flutter because it's rare that a company already has Dart teams before starting to do Flutter. But you do the investment, but then you need to interact with, say, a third-party library. Classic example, an analytics library that you must use because your business depends on it, but they don't ship you a Flutter library. They only ship you the native version, so you need to write the wrapper around the native stuff in native, so in Kotlin and in Swift, in respectively Android and iOS, and then write the code that bridges the native wrapper you've done with the Dart code that uses it, using the channels that Flutter provides you. And that's where, like, the more of those things you have, the less benefit you get from using a cross-platform framework. If you don't need those, or if you need those, but there is already a cross-platform library for that, then you can have a good product coming out. And one thing I can think of, for example, I think last year, Philips Hue rewrote their app. There used to be two native apps. They rewrote it entirely in Flutter, and they've invested a lot in creating a Flutter library that handles Bluetooth low energy so that they can talk to their devices directly from Flutter. So obviously, in their case, they had to write the native bindings for Bluetooth on Android and on iOS, but then everyone else now can use Bluetooth low energy fairly easily on Flutter because of the investment that Philips Hue has put into that already, and then they published it as open source.
And so that's a good point. So like the kind of like the community around those cross-platform tools are important. Is there one in particular that you're excited about? Is there one that you feel is kind of taking over from the other ones?
I was looking for the talk that I gave the other day at numbers. And the trends I find are very interesting. So I looked at data on Statista.com where they were asking mobile developers, which cross-platform frameworks have you used for the past 3 years? And you can see that all of the cross-platform frameworks are going down in usage, particularly the web ones. They're going down very quickly, like Cordova used to be called PhoneGap. That's like the first generation of cross-platform frameworks, which was essentially put a web view in your application, and now you have an app. It's like, not really. But the only framework, cross-platform framework, that has seen growing usage is Flutter. Even React Native is losing a bit of mind share and maybe market share as well. I think, like, it seems to me, my personal perception is that the Flutter community is the community that is closest to native development. And in fact, a lot of people that do Flutter tend to come from Android background, maybe because it's Google, you know, Google here, Google there, so it's kind of like a natural path. But obviously, there's also people that know how to do iOS there as well, maybe as a second language or second platform. And I don't see it as much in other frameworks. When you talk about React Native, that tends to be people that use React on the web that are like, oh, could also. And then the community around React Native tends to be a bit more web-centric than mobile-centric compared to the Flutter one, even though you can target web with Flutter as well. Xamarin tends to be extremely enterprise-centric, and as such, doesn't seem to have a community as much beyond some Stack Overflow presence. I don't really know of much in terms of a community for Xamarin.
Like probably but you have consultants. Microsoft.
Yeah, consultancy.
Consultancy. thank you. So is there anything, looking to the future, is there anything that excites you? I mean, being cross-platform or just generally in the mobile tech space, is there something that you look at and say, like, this is something you should look out for if you're interested in this subject?
So the big trend in mobile native for the past year or two has been declarative UIs. And I think that's very interesting, not just in terms of the way that works. It's a model that is very powerful and seems to work very well, but that's besides the point. What interests me is that, curiously enough, this is a model that didn't originate on mobile native. This is something that people doing React Native and doing Flutter have been doing for a long time. And now that has kind of permeated into Jetpack Compose on Android and SwiftUI on iOS, which curiously were launched pretty much at the same time, probably without knowing that the other was doing the same thing at the same time. And I think that is a very strong signal and happenstance, if you want, that there is a big shift in the way user interfaces in mobile are handled, and that the model proved successful with Flutter and with React Native and is now proving successful on the native side as well. And I think it's very interesting because I'm at heart a person that likes colored things showing up on screen. So to me, that's a very big thing, and I'm extremely excited about that. Also, I'm a huge Kotlin fan, not because I work at JetBrains, but because I really like the language. And I really liked the language before joining the company as well. And having a way to do UI in my favorite language. So I really like Flutter as well, which is fairly similar, but I like Dart less than I like Kotlin. So for me, having the ability to use the very powerful declarative paradigm in the language that I prefer the most is extremely interesting. And I also, one maybe side effect of this is that I can see over time the discussions on the Android side, native side, and the iOS native side when it comes to UI come closer. Because now we are not doing things in slightly different ways, but we're essentially doing the same thing. And that maybe in the future will allow us to actually think of native cross-platform, if you will, where, sure, the language you write in and the exact API call you do is different, but the logic is pretty much the same. And that maybe can help move things at the same pace on both sides without having to use cross-platform frameworks. Or maybe this will eventually convince everyone that, you know, what we get from Flutter or React Native is good enough, so we can just do that.
You think like, this is probably blasphemy, but you see, like, would there be a world in which either, you know, Apple adopt Kotlin or Google adopt Swift?
I honestly don't know. I would be surprised personally to see that, but because, I would be less surprised to see Google making openings towards Swift because they already released libraries for iOS that are written in Swift. I would be very surprised if you see Apple do anything that is not Apple. So I don't know, honestly, if that will happen. But I hope at least as users of those technologies, we will get to have a more similar mindset. And funnily enough, the same mindset that we can also carry to cross-platform if we need to.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I think this has been 45 minutes. Thank you so much, Seb, for going through my questions and
thank you, Carl.
Sharing your intellect with us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.